Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. We have a very special episode for you today. We have Bachelor alum Ashley Iaconetti on the show today to talk about her pregnancy, her marriage with Jared, the beautiful family that they're raising. So I can't wait to talk to her. What about you, Mike?
No, definitely. I mean, also, we can't forget that Jared and Ashley both opened up a new business in Rhode Island. And I'm so proud of them for that. I want to give a shout out to them and their business. And I just want to know about that as well. I mean, they're doing so much. They are literally Bachelor Nation icons. And I just want to give them their praises and give them the roses while they can. And then also, I got to get into the tea.
But of course, Mike, before we get to that interview, we got to get to our hot takes. And we're only actually going to do one, but it's a very interesting topic. It was actually on a podcast the other day. Former Dolphin football player Channing Crowder mentioned that basically that Russell Wilson, who is now married to Sierra, called him a square, quote unquote, and that if Russell Wilson wasn't who he was, that Sierra probably wouldn't be with him. I'm paraphrasing this, but this is the gist of what he was saying. And he basically was saying that because Sierra, based on her dating history, has a type. And Russell Wilson doesn't fit that type. So if he didn't have the money and wasn't one of the best quarterbacks in the world, he didn't think that they would be together.
What's your hot take? I want to hear your hot take first.
Well, here's my question. Like, based on what Crowder is saying, is future Sierra's main type, i.e., is he the rapper, the professional baller, the type of guy that she has always been attracted to since she was younger? You know, that bad boy, that elusive one who she can't just seem to get enough of, right? You know, the person that always pushes the woman's buttons, right or wrong, and they just can't get enough. And based on her track record, Mike, Crowder does seem to be speaking facts. Now, let me go down the list.
Okay, let's do that.
So we got Future.
Yes.
Cam Newton.
Yes.
Amari Stoudemire, Trey Songz, 50 Cent, Bow Wow, Lloyd, and some dude named LaKyle Thomas, who was actually her high school boyfriend, who's now an Atlanta entrepreneur, and she actually left him once her career took off. So he doesn't count. And
then you gotta do her like that, bro? Why you gotta say she left him once her career took off?
Well, that's what I read. Okay. I'm just quoting the articles that I read. You know, she had to spread her wings and fly. You know what I'm saying? So, and then Russell Wilson. So based on that list, who would you say does not belong on that list?
I got what you're saying. So what is your take on it? Because I'm coming strong with this one. I have a very good, my take is strong. I'm passionate about this.
I think that Russell Wilson, he's super smart, a baller, rich, but down to his core, I think he is a little corny.
Like, gotcha.
He is corny. So he mentioned that he was a square, corny. I mean, I don't know if they're interchangeable words, but
interchangeable.
Yes, I think he is a square. Now, he just doesn't have the I'm going to say perceived, because we don't know these other guys that I just mentioned personally, but he doesn't have the perceived swag that these other guys do on that list. So
he does Bow Wow.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Lil Bow Wow.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
But I feel like back in the day, he was that good guy, right? And what happens, women always want, for whatever reason, they want the bad boy. They say they want a good guy, but they always go for the bad boy, right?
So I'm going to help you out right there. People are going to come at you for that one. And just because we live in that day and age. There's actually, and I would love if our beloved listeners would find this word for me. It's a scientific word. It starts with the letter H. And it literally is defined by saying people who are attracted to bad people, like that they know damn well isn't good for them. So continue that thought. But it's actually a Webster dictionary word.
Now, look, I personally think this is just my opinion, ladies. Don't come at me with pitchforks. Like, he's always had the three traits, right? He's sophisticated. He's squeaky clean image. And he's smart as hell. Like, Rachel even told me, she's interviewed the man. Mm-hmm. Very bright guy, right? Maybe
quarterbacks normally are.
Yeah, that you got to be a quarterback. But you know, even though he has those three traits, throughout her history, Sierra never went for that great, nice guy. She went for the bad boy. So the money and the fame, I believe, this is a controversial opinion, which women might disagree. I think the money and the fame is what got him in the door. And now the woman who maybe always said, I want a good, nice guy, but always went to the bad boy, is now getting the best of both worlds. And best believe she gave that dude some swag, because now he's like, GQ,
he
Russ,
be dressing good now, I go
right?
Fly. She definitely
women always upgrade us.
Yeah, exactly. So my take on that, I don't see the issue with if you continually to upgrade yourself, therefore your suitors are going to be continually upgrading as well. Brian, you are an attractive 42-year-old with a freaking 12-pack. That's a doctor that lived in Miami, now in LA, who was on TV. Your resume is stacked. You are aesthetically pleasing and you are intelligent, right? If you weren't with my big sister, you're not going to get a 5 from looks or intelligence. It's just what it is, right? Because you want someone commiserate or higher. I don't care who comes to me. That just is what it is, right? And so therefore, Sierra, literally, I love Russell Wilson, but if Sierra was like, Mike, Russell getting my damn nerves, I'm like, what's up, baby? I got you.
You slide right in.
I'm like, Russ, homie, I know that my homeboy Peter Weber absolutely loves you, but hey, I'm a Cowboy fan, not a Bronco fan, you know? And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. She is literally top tier. So therefore she can get whomever she desires. And I say that for men or women, period. Brad Pitt can get anybody. If you are top tier talent, and I'm looking at it from a sports perspective, you can go to any team, right? The second thing, Russell is a corny. He just is. It is what it is. There's nothing wrong with him being corny though, right? That's just who he is as a person. And that's where I disagree with you, right? In my hot take, she's top tier, so therefore she can get anybody who she wants. Megan Good is single, baby. I'm letting you know right now. Megan Good, come holler at your boy.
Yeah.
Megan Good, come holler at your boy.
Megan Good, fine.
Come holler at your
boy. Can't argue with there. However,
to that thought, Russell is corny in comparison to the other type of men that she's dated. This is where me and my homies talk, and this is where, you know, some of the ladies that are listening are going to come at you and I both, because we talk all the time. She could have just had Russell from the beginning, even though we know Russell was married, right? But you get the drift. She 50 Cent is not the best guy when she was dating.
Total opposite.
Future literally says in his records, if a B catch me cheating, I will never tell her sorry. Yet and still, some people go after that type. And this is what I'm asking for the listeners. There is literally a scientific word for it, because psychologists have proven what we're saying is not wrong. I think that Sierra just wanted to, she had to mature a bit herself.
That's the other thing.
And she knows her worth.
As she got older, she's like, you know, like, doesn't it always happen? You're like, you wise up. Yeah. You know, you pick the right woman that's, you know, going to uplift your life. You stop dealing with, you know, people that aren't good for you. And I mean, once you get to know the guy, I mean, maybe she realized she was a sapiosexual. Like, she's attracted to this man's mind, intelligence. That is attractive to some people.
But she was also attracted to Future's. I'm sure Future was hella fun. I'm sure when she was with Trey Songz, she was attracted to the way Trey Songz just exudes confidence.
The swag.
Yeah, Trey Songz is swag, right? I honestly don't care. People can come at me all day. I went through a period of my life where I was a straight dick, a straight up asshole. This is when I was in Air Force. I'm telling you, Brian, I have never in my life got more girls wanting me than when I was a straight asshole.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
What? Like, what the hell is going on? Right now, talk about it like this. Right now, I preach loving yourself. I preach positivity on my social, get no likes. Let me say some shit like, if I post a thirst trap and I say my comment is, or my caption says, the only time you're gonna be pinned up is against the wall. I bet you I get the most engagement for that.
Oh, for sure.
Guarantee it.
Listen, after I got out of relationships back in the day, you know, long-term relationships, I would go stints being single.
Yeah.
And yes, like, you go through this period where it's like, emotionally, you're just not there. Like, I just got out of a relationship, I'm not ready. And like, you mentioned that to a woman and it's like, oh, you know, like, they want to be with you. So it's like, even, and you know, at that time, you literally tell them the truth. Hey, listen, this is what it is.
This is what it is.
Either you like it or you don't. And they usually don't go anywhere. But
Bruno Mars writes songs about it. The Weeknd has wrote songs about it. Future has written songs about it. And they still getting women like crazy. Brian, right or wrong? When a person has on a, when a man has on a ring, do you get more flattery eyes?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think that the whole, it has to go with,
yeah,
we want what we can't have.
Exactly. I was about to say that. Yep.
You know damn well you're not going to control Future. But when some, you know, some people are immature, they still haven't matured all the way. It's like, yo, I can be the one to reel him in.
Exactly. I could be the one to tame him. I could change him. That's the thing. That's, and I feel like that goes,
I don't even care. I don't even get mad if, like, in the back in the day, I remember when my ex and I broke up, and I was like, bro, I cried when I went to the mall one day because I saw people holding hands. I had to leave the mall. It was like that bad for me, right? And now this is when that song came out where Future was like, if a bee catch me chilling, cheating, I will never tell her sorry. And I was like, we gonna break up? And there's guys like this out here, right?
I'm a good guy.
I'm a good guy. I went through that, right? I'm a good guy. But at times we feel like we can change that person.
Yeah.
And baby, that shit ain't happening.
Yeah.
No, it's just not. Like, you as a married man, I'm sure, and Rachel Noah too, you get more eyes looking at you.
Yeah, 100%. It's just,
there's a word out there. So listeners, you know, as we want to bring Ashley in, but look up this word. I might say it next week on the podcast, but it's genuinely a word out there. It's been proven what we're saying. You can come at us
Us
in the hot takes, but it's
let
true.
Let us know your opinions.
Yeah,
on what we said. Opinion. Are we speaking facts or is it BS?
Let us know. Love y'all. Ashley, can't wait to bring you in. You want to talk about it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Welcome, Ashley. It's been a while. How you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Hello, Brian. Hello,
welcome,
Mike.
Welcome.
How are you guys?
How have you been?
How have I been?
Yes.
Oh my God. Living in a whole different world.
Tell us about your
world. A world where I need 15 of me. I need 15 of me to like feel like I'm on the level that I was back when I didn't have a kid. You can do everything, but at the slowest of rates. Like basically making my bed can be like a 40-minute ordeal. So it's really a waste of time.
Wow. You just learn new perspectives, that's all.
Yeah, but so, yeah. We're very, very grateful for our little family. He is so freaking cute.
Definitely so. And for those listening, how old is Dawson?
He is 9 months as of yesterday. 9 months. 9 weeks as of yesterday.
9 months inside, 9 weeks that he is. Got it. It's so cool that you have Dawson, like, just a part of the podcast with you today. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he's been part of a lot of podcasts, just his head, you know? He likes to lounge in this lounger, so you guys get to see the back of his head.
Just his head. Does that hurt your back, like, wearing that?
No, so prior to us hitting record, Brian, the chiropractor in him, was very concerned about my back because we use this carrier where Dawson, like, lounges in the front on my chest. And it hasn't done a number on my back yet. It must be a very well-made product. And let me tell you, didn't pay for it. Thank you to social media. This thing on my chest.
Shut up.
This is not even an ad. It was a gift. But the gift is a gift that keeps on giving. It's called an Arty Pop. And it's like $400. But maybe it's like aerodynamic in the way that like it's created to not hurt my back.
Hey, listen, you might be paying more in back treatment if you didn't have that. So I think it makes sense. 400 is very affordable, right? When you think of it like that.
Let's see the chiropractor. Talking about social media, Ashley, you're like, I want to know, how has Bachelor Nation changed your life? I mean, because you found your husband on Bachelor Nation, your family with Dawson from Bachelor Nation, you have a business, you have a social media empire. I mean, you're everything.
The Bachelor changed my life completely. I can't even begin to imagine what my life would be if it weren't for it, because it changed like every single aspect, like you said, like work, love, family.
That's just amazing.
Everything. And I am so incredibly grateful for it. Like every day I should just like take 5 minutes to like go to a bachelor shrine or something and be like, thank you, God, in bachelor, for what you have brought to my life.
In bachelor, we trust.
Yes.
I also want to say, so Ashley, for those not knowing, when I was new into the bachelor world, I came on your podcast, you and Ben's podcast, Almost Famous. Shout out to you guys. And just then, I am the same. I am very adamant and I say whatever's on my mind and I came at you. Do you remember this?
Yes, you did. It was scary as hell.
wait. Can I get a recap? Explain what happened.
And this was like, this was, I think, 2 BC or 2 years before COVID, right? And we were in person. And I came at her in person, right? I have nothing against Ashley whatsoever, but I had heard some things and I was like, yo, we got to discuss this right off the bat. And Ashley and Ben's producer was like, this is good information. We got to hold it. Wait 1 second. We got to make sure we get this on recording, right? And
yes,
Ashley handled herself so well. So I just want to say thank you. We talked it out and I'm so happy that like, it's kind of almost full circle now. That, you know, you're on our podcast and I think that you're amazing. Yeah. You know that. Aww, based on things, thanks, that, you know, Mike. We've done offline. I've like try to make sure that you come along with me on some things. And so I just want to say thank you for the person that you are.
Oh my gosh. You do not have to thank me. I am always grateful when you are in my company, whenever we're at, you know, some event. It's always fun to be with you. You truly light up a room.
That's just
that just great happy smile of his.
That's that smile. I mean, it's like a Michael Strahan smile almost. Like, it's
without
undeniable.
Without the gap.
Well, talking about lighting up a room, you know, I'm going to be in the Northeast soon. Can you tell us about like this amazing coffee shop called
Audrey's? Are you
Audrey's?
Really going to be in the Northeast? Are you really going to be here? Because don't pull my leg.
I'm going to be up in the Northeast pretty soon. Yes.
We would really want you to come visit.
Yes.
Like really, really. No. We'll talk about this in a little bit. I'll text you afterward. But our coffee shop, it's called Audrey's Coffee House and Lounge. And even though we call it a coffee shop, it's a bar at night. And we really need to promote that more because like we love the fact that it turns into a bar at night. And Jared makes the most amazing. Oh. 1 second.
Hey, Dawson. What's up, man?
Jared's behind the bar. He's either making lattes during the day a lot, but his bread and butter is definitely being behind the bar, making espresso martinis. Oh. We have like a thin mint martini, a Samoa martini, like all these little like craft cocktails. They're so good. So it was in, you know, it was just something that Jared's wanted to do his entire life, is open up some sort of cafe, restaurant. He was always in that industry before The Bachelor.
Was he a big fan of the movie Risky Business with Tom Cruise?
It is, you mean because opening up a restaurant is the riskiest of businesses? Well,
that's true. And I could just imagine him behind the bar. You
like
know,
cocktail, but he's more cocktails. Like Tom Cruise.
That's
cocktail.
Right. I'm thinking cocktails. I'm sorry. Wrong. Okay. Tom Cruise movie. Cocktails. There you go.
Okay.
You
well, go. Jared is obsessed with Tom Cruise. Okay. He is, you know, his idol, his icon. Nothing gets him like he would want to be no one more than Tom Cruise, except for Tom Brady.
Okay? Right, Tom I think Brady, Jared is like obsessed with people named Tom.
Tom. We're going to get a dog one day soon. Golden Retrievers is our dream, and name him Tom. And he can be named after whichever Tom you think he's named after, but he's really named after Brady.
Yeah.
It's going to be anyway. Tom Brady Cruise. That's going to be a full name.
Tom Brady. That's a great name, Brian.
There you go.
Tom Brady Cruise.
That is a good one. Well, you know that his middle name, I'm pointing at Dawson right now, is Brady.
Yes.
Of course. We added that later. It was always Dawson Dimitri Haven. And then it was the week that Tom retired, you know, for, you know, like, 7 weeks or whatnot.
Wait, time out. Did he come to you with this like, babe, I need you to do this for me? Like how did that whole conversation come up about him being named Brady as well?
Well, everybody always joked that his name would be Tom or Brady. Even when I asked social media, the way I announced that he was a boy was the caption said, no, his name will not be Brady. That's ironic now, right? Oh my God. And it is. Yeah, so it was always like something. It was always kind of a joke, you know. Do we name him Tom? You know, do we name him? But we were all like, no, we're not. His dog's name was Brady, his family dog growing up. So there was no way we're gonna name the kid Brady after, you know, the dog was Brady. And then Tom, you know, retirement, Jared was like making montages of his like past 20 something years with Tom. And we just had like all this love and like just sentimentality attached to it. And it was really almost like a joint decision, because when you see your husband so passionate about something and something that he's really gotten you into, like, I am now part of the cult of Tom Brady. I was down. That's all I can say.
And now he's coming back. So I can't even imagine the jubilation in your household right now.
It was something we needed. It was a jolt and a spark that he needed, because to make this conversation full circle, he's been working so much down at Audrey's, playing Cocktail like Tom Cruise, that like he really just needed something to make him smile because he's a little worn down from work.
Oh, fair enough. If I were to ever get so lucky to get like the best seats at a Bucks game, there's only one person that I'm bringing, and it's going to be Jared.
It's going to be Jared?
It's going to be, I can guarantee you, it'll be Jared for sure. I'll like, Jared, I'll fly him down. Like, bro, I got the tickets. We're going to kick it with Brady.
Get some field passes, Mike. You got to pull all the stops.
I would. I've hung out with Ashley. I think I've only hung out with Jared like twice in my life, but I would have to do it. I don't know a bigger Brady fan than Jared.
No, and you would be in the cult too after hanging out with Jared for a little while and in such an exuberant mood that he would be in.
I love that. Who named Dawson?
Oh, Dawson was my name, and I had this picked out since I was 20 years old. It's, I don't know if you know, it's after Dawson, Jack Dawson from Titanic, which is my favorite movie. Like, I saw it, you know, at the age of, I don't even know if I was 10. Came out in 90. Yeah, I was like 9. And I just knew at that moment that it was going to be my favorite movie for the rest of my life, no matter what came out. I've seen it over 100 times, and that's not an expression. Like, I've truly seen it over 100 times. Not the entire thing from like minute number one to the last minute, because I don't always watch The Sinking, and I definitely don't often watch the first 20 minutes where Leo and Kate aren't in them, you know? But yes, I had Dawson picked out for a long time because of Titanic.
No,
was
actually,
Jared always okay with the name Dawson, or was it like, I guess, like, did you guys come to a conclusion with Brady and Dawson, or was it like, look, this is Dawson or we're not having a baby?
He always was down with Dawson. I was very lucky. He was not down for my girl name, which was Arena, Arena. He's not down for Arena. So
where does Arena come from?
Arena is, I was at a New Kids on the Block concert in my early 20s, and I was just like, this is the life. I love being in an arena. Like, this just makes me like so naturally high. Like, this is my happy place. And then I was like, because, you know, it just, I had a list of concerts that I had gone to up until like, I don't know, maybe age 25, I stopped, you know, adding to the list, you know, actually typing out the list. I have been to like over 200 concerts. Oh. I just love arena concerts. You know, I love boy bands. I love pop. I love like the energy around there. And I was just like, Arena, that is my happy place.
That's my happy place. I have to agree with Jared on this one.
Yeah, no.
I got to agree with Jared on this one. Actually, that was the first time when we did your podcast.
Oh yeah, we were at the iHeart.
Yeah, we were in an arena. Definitely. Yeah. So, now, Brian, what happened? I had some words for Ashley when I did their podcast.
He's gonna keep bringing this up.
Yes, we've come to that conclusion. I still want to know what was said. I still don't remember, but no need to bring back.
I don't even remember. It was definitely like hearsay, and then I like repeated hearsay on Access Hollywood on my recap. And I was like, whoops, I shouldn't have said that out loud if I hadn't confirmed it myself.
Pretty much what happened. That's all, Brian. That's pretty much what happened. So how is it? How is opening up Audrey's? How is it being a new mother? How is it still like juggling everything that you have going on in your life right now?
Well, it's quite overwhelming. Today, Jared and I interviewed an assistant, possibly, because we definitely need like a babysitter / assistant to help us out these days. Because like I said, even small things like making the bed feel, it's just such more of a time commitment than it was. If I could just have somebody in the house while I take care of the house, while I attend to a little work, while I do a podcast that would like really help out my life. And Jared is, you know, depending on the day, down at Audrey's, could be up to 12 hours. Like there are plenty of days where he'll leave the house at 10 and he won't get home till 12 a.m. You should have seen December when he was first opening and he didn't have a cook back when he first opened. So he was legitimately there sometimes like 14 hours.
Oh, wow.
He was a tired man, but all good things, you know, like super blessed, all good things, a baby. We bought a house, which
congratulations,
we may move out of very soon because it's not close enough to Audrey's and he's realized that he needs to be a lot closer there.
The drive
have
is
a new
important.
Business. It's doing well. What?
The drive is important. That drive in the morning.
Oh, it's so important. So it's like 35 minutes right now, which in a regular commute sounds like it wouldn't, you know, 35 minutes sounds pretty average. I mean, you're living in LA. Yeah. That's like nothing.
Yeah.
But here for him, it would be nice for him to be able to bounce back and forth between like, you know, slow hours of the day and then be able to come home and see Dawson and all that.
Is that 35 minutes like with traffic or no?
Without traffic, like smooth sailing.
Yeah, I went from 8 to 10 minutes to work. We're actually now in a new house, and now it's like 30 to 40, and that just that extra 30 minutes makes a big difference. And that's regular LA traffic. Yeah,
that's in LA traffic that it's 30 minutes.
Regular morning LA traffic, like you know, a little stop and go here and there, but no, like, you know, on maps where you see like the whole thing red, it's like stopped up. No, this is just regular traffic. So that would be like more of like an hour, but. But I also, what you were saying about an assistant, definitely get it. I had one of my best friends that like changed their marriage, like getting a nanny where that person could focus on all the little things. So you could get a break and at the same time be able to focus on your business and all those other important things that you need to worry about. It makes a big difference and it's going to be worth its weight in gold for sure.
I think so too. She was here just helping out, like doing a trial run, and I felt relief
instantly.
Today.
Moment one.
Yeah.
So I just can't even imagine your life right now, but I want an insight to that. You and Jared, you guys met, fell in love, Bachelor in Paradise.
We met. There was some weirdness.
Well, yes.
And later down the road.
Yes. Yes. That's true. But you guys managed to come together, fell in love, get married, all from meeting on Paradise, had your guys' ups and downs. How is it now looking at your husband as a father?
Oh, it's so dreamy. He's just as good as I thought he was going to be. He's so good with babies. The first 2 weeks, oh my gosh. So I was like recovering and I could barely sit up, you know, like I couldn't get up. It hurt. We can drop it at that. We are talking to guys about that. But he would do so much of the work, you know, getting up to get the bottle, almost every single diaper. I changed like 2 or 3 diapers total in the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because he was doing all of them. And I was just like, you are so perfect. How did I get so lucky to be with you? There's like a lot of tears the first couple of weeks about like, life can never get better than this. Something bad is going to happen. Everything is working out for me. I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, Jared is such a good dad. He has so much fun with him. He's so hands on. He would like to be changing more dirty diapers and be home enough to do so. So he's amazing.
He's just setting the example for all of us, Mike. Damn it.
Oh, well, I thought that I was going to be like, I'm going to be like, oh no, like he's going to be Mr. Mom. Like I'm not going to have any attachment. He's going to want dad all the time because he was doing all the work. But now we've equaled out, I think.
He loves you both.
Well, you said that like the first 2-3 weeks is kind of, you know, weird to talk to guys about, and I'm not going to go too deep into that. But Brian and I want to be fathers one day. Like, what are some things that, you know, we could learn?
Oh.
She said, where do I start?
I think, I don't even know.
Be like Jared.
I think at this age, like we can't give you like parenting advice. I would say just to assure you that it comes naturally. You just know what to do. I was so freaked out. First, I was like, Mom, am I even going to like the kid? Like, what if I don't connect? I don't know, because I was like, had such a horrible pregnancy. You know, I was like, nobody told me it was going to be like this. What are they not telling me about when the baby's here? But everything just like you figure it out. And it's really simple. It's really, it really is. It's simple right now.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, all he does is really eat and sleep and poop and
pee.
He cries for no reason sometimes, but we pretty much are able to figure out how to calm him down.
So how frustrating is that when, you know, the baby's that young, they can't really communicate with you. They're just crying uncontrollably. Like, what do you guys do in that situation?
Well, so it's really easy the first month or two because they are truly like, if they're crying, it's because they want to eat or they need to burp. Mm-hmm. Not even so much get a diaper change because they don't really care at that point. Now he's getting to the point where it's like, okay, he might need to be changed. And then if like something isn't working between all three of those, then, you know, you put him in a swing, you put him in the bouncer. One of those will work. You hold him, you walk around with him. That'll work. Or in this case right now, you see him in this carrier. This is the grandness of all of them. And this was what always calms him down. It has not failed once. So, but one day I'm sure it'll fail and then I'll freak out because I really won't know what to do then.
Yeah, knock on wood for sure.
And how much sleep are you getting? Because I'm concerned about that. I need my rest. And I'm a little mortified about what I got to look forward to.
People freaked me out. Like I said earlier, people were freaking me out because some people would say, you think pregnancy is hard? Wait until the baby's here. Wait till the next 18 years of your life. And I one time like had an emotional breakdown getting comments like that on Instagram because I was like, I'm throwing up 5 times a day. How can it get worse than this? Yeah. Why do people do it? This is my stressed out voice, if you can't tell. But it's been not that bad. His sleep, the first 2 weeks, it was like a little ouchy because he was waking up every 2.5-3 hours. But I was able to like take naps during the day, relax during the day because we were both living at my parents' house. So we had like a lot of help during that time. And then once he hit 4 or 5 weeks, he started sleeping like almost through the night, like six to seven straight hours.
Is that like super early?
Good for you guys.
Like in one flight?
Surprisingly, I don't think it's that early. I know that because I'm formula feeding and not breastfeeding, that like he stays fuller a little bit longer.
Okay.
So those babies do tend to sleep a little harder throughout the night initially.
What was the reason for deciding, you know, to formula feed over breastfeed?
Question.
A couple things went into that. First, I mean, I had such like a rough pregnancy physically that I was just like, I know I'm going to need to have my body back and it'd just be mine after this. Fair. And I know that I'm going to need to rest it. I don't need my body to learn how to do something else. I don't need to be able like to deal with the frustration if it doesn't go smoothly. And, you know, with so many women, it doesn't go smoothly. And then they get upset with themselves. And I'm like, I don't need the emotional toll that this might take. I was formula fed. Jared was formula fed. I have so many like friends and family members who also formula fed. I had like a good supportive system around me and people who have always been like that. So
I love that for
I was
you.
Like, we all turned out good, right?
Hey, and then
another added little benefit was that I knew that I'd be able to probably sleep a little bit more throughout the night the first couple weeks. And that was going to be really important for me being the best version of myself. Like, I didn't want to be crying and like emotionally distressed over it or just exhausted to the point where I felt like I couldn't enjoy this period with him.
So
that's why I decided.
I have a couple questions. Number one, do you guys have like a system, like who gets up and, you know, is it your turn? Is it my turn? And then also you mentioned the difficulty of your pregnancy. Can you just talk a little bit about that and what you went through? I mean, I know you've expressed a lot of it on social media, but I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Our schedule, at first it was just like, are you going to get the first nighttime feed or the second nighttime feed, you know? So that was an easy split. Now, it kind of depends on what time Jared's going to work. I'll usually put him to bed around, I know it sounds crazy, 1 a.m. He'll sleep around, like, I'm a night owl, so I'd rather be up at night. Dawson will like sleep after like a night bottle, maybe from like 10 often to like 1, and then I'll give him another bottle then at 1 to take him through the night, and then he'll wake up around 7 to 8. I'll usually get that wake up, and then I'll put him back in his bassinet, his snoo, and then he sleeps for another 3 hours, and then I sleep for another 3 hours.
So like when,
and that's how it goes.
So when Dawson sleeps, you're like, all right, I don't care what I'm doing, I gotta go to bed too.
Yeah, I got, well, he is not like a huge napper right now.
Okay.
I have to like tiptoe around during the day to get him to sleep a solid 45 minutes during the day. Like I can't get anything done. So I really get that sleep overnight and into the morning. And the reason we do that is because Jared will probably have to go into work sometime in the morning.
Yeah.
So I take that one so that I can go back to bed and sleep when he and, you know, Dawson and I are sleeping. And then the pregnancy, the sickness.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. I'm going to get into the pregnancy that you had.
It was bad. I don't know how to say it properly. Hypermesis graviton. It's called HG. It's what Kate, Princess Kate had, okay. Duchess Kate, and Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer has a documentary on HBO about her being pregnant and doing stand up through it. And it is basically just like the worst nausea and often throwing up, often losing weight. I didn't lose really weight. I lost like 2 pounds during my first trimester, which is nothing. But Mike's face is like, wait, I think you're supposed to gain weight.
No, I'm just like super intrigued right now.
Yeah. So it sometimes lasts just the first trimester where it's just like intense. You can't keep anything down. I could keep things down. I could keep most of my food down. And what I mean food, I mean like macaroni and cheese, grilled cheese, anything with cheese. And somehow while eating that diet, still lost 2 pounds during that first trimester. I just couldn't keep down any water. So I was on IVs a lot, especially during the first 16 weeks and stuff. Yeah, I was so incredibly dehydrated. I was like so dehydrated that even IVs, which if any of you guys have had them, like they can make you super puffy, gain so much weight. Like you'll just see in your fingers, you know, they're like little sausage fingers. And I had none of that. I was still not even peeing with IVs. Like I would pee maybe once during the day and once at night, and it'd be like little dribbles. Like I had no liquid in me. It was awful. I wasn't even able to chug water. Water was like a huge trigger until birth. I was able to like have a water bottle or two a day during my third trimester. My third trimester was the easiest. I stopped throwing up at about 28 weeks, but the first 23 weeks, it was just like, what is life? Was just sitting on the couch.
How many times on average were you throwing up a day?
Probably 2 to 3. But there were some days where it was like uncontrollable. Wow. There was this one night I was on the verge of being able to take Zofran. So Zofran was a total game changer, but they don't recommend you take Zofran until about 10 to 12 weeks.
What is Zofran?
It's an anti-nausea medication. Okay. It takes away most your nausea. You still like feel like a little bit queasy, but it really stops the throwing up.
Gotcha.
And I mean, my dad's a doctor, so I've had Zofran in the past when I've had like stomach viruses and such. So I was just like, I knew the power and the beauty of Zofran. I was counting down those weeks. So one day, like on the verge of me being able to take it about 12 weeks, I threw up like 7 times in 2 hours. It was every 20 minutes. And I took the Zofran and I was just, it was like, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, to answer your question, it was about 2 to 3 times a day on average. It wasn't every single day. It was most days. And then from about week 12, I would start taking the Zofran almost daily.
That's crazy with all that dehydration. Jeez.
Yeah, really. Yeah. The cheese, you said you had macaroni and cheese a lot. Was that like something that you figured out that you can actually eat, or was that just like more of a
trial and
error? I'm starving. I mean, not starving, but I have a craving for cheese.
It was anything that was greasy.
Okay.
actually like helped it. It was very weird. Almost everything got to the point where I had bad times with it, so I had to eliminate it. Like macaroni and cheese, at first it agreed well, and then it was just like every single time it would go straight up. Same with chocolate chip pancakes. I thought those were a real winner until it was not anymore.
Just made me hungry.
Yeah, the thing that really worked, my only true I guess I had two real, maybe they weren't cravings, but they really helped me through, was Egg McMuffins in the morning and chocolate milk as my hydrator. It was the only thing, chocolate milk.
Wow.
Since we have spoken about IG, I have done an ad for chocolate milk, and I wouldn't have done it until I got to read the benefits of it and the nutrients, the nutritional value. And they do say that it's a good for hydration.
I know. Okay. So once I figured out that it was something that I liked the taste of and I could keep down, I was like, I wonder how hydrating it is. And I looked it up and it's incredibly hydrating. They say it's even more hydrating than like sports drinks and coconut milk water.
I was going to ask you that, like no Gatorade, Pedialyte, like none of that stuff could stay down.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
This is where I get to shout out my old roommate, Connor Saley. He has a company called Waterboy. So I'm going to make sure that he sends you some Waterboy.
I know he talked to us about that and I love the concept.
No, it's awesome. He was creating it in our kitchen and I love the dude. It's awesome. Going back to your pregnancy and like sometimes you say you threw up 7 times in 2 hours every 20 minutes. As a guy, I'll be the first to admit, and speaking for Brian and I, we are just the inferior human. We are not as strong as you all, as women are. What is something that you wish you knew prior to going into your pregnancy that you do know now?
I did say that the thing that pregnancy taught me was that God is a man, for sure. For sure.
I would not put this on my fellow man. Absolutely not.
No. Something that I wish I knew, I guess what I thought morning sickness would be, even though I did see the Amy Schumer documentary beforehand, I don't know why it stuck with me. And I was like, oh God, that could happen to me. But for the most part, I thought morning sickness was just like you feel sick in the morning, or even if it's not just the morning, like you feel sick, it's immediate, you know, like you're fine. And all of a sudden, holy shit, I'm going to throw up. And you're like, and then you're fine. Then you go about your day. Because I could handle that. Spontaneous nausea and throwing up, sure. I didn't think it was going to be a permanent hangover for like 20 weeks. Like,
that is,
imagine yourself hungover every day for 20 weeks.
Wow.
I'm not going to ever forget that, actually, whenever I get my future wife pregnant, whenever I do get a wife.
And what about...
So yeah, be aware of that.
Wow,
and
such
both
a
of
great
you
analogy. Wow.
And how did you feel your appetite was influenced? I mean, because... I mean, everybody says that you're eating for two, right? But at the same time, you couldn't hold things down. How did you cope with that?
Well, that's the thing. I was eating every 2 hours.
Okay,
because
so you're eating a lot.
Oddly, you are less nauseous when you have something in your stomach.
Okay.
So I was just eating a lot. And that's why I was keeping down most of my food, because every 2 hours I'd be eating. So then like every like, you know, 2 or 3 of those times I'd throw it up. Wow. And they say eating for two, but you're really only supposed to eat like 300 calories more a day. I ended up gaining about 35 pounds throughout the whole thing. And this is how it went. The first 20 weeks, or let's say it's more like 28 weeks, probably the first 28 weeks, I was like, oh, I don't want that. I should eat, but I don't want to eat. I don't know what I want. I know I need to eat something, but I don't know what I want. And then at about 28 weeks, it was just like, give me everything. I want to eat. Everything sounds good. And I know holds bar.
That's cool. I love the voice. She's like, give me everything.
Yeah. It was fun because you're eating with like no restraints, no thought about like how it's going to look, the way it's going to look on you or anything like that. You're just like, you deserve this. You get to eat anything you want.
Ashley, if no one's told you today, you look amazing. So
shout
out to you.
Thanks.
I do want to ask you. I remember one of my best friends, she was pregnant one time, or post-pregnancy. Her child was about 5 years old, and she broke down in front of me. And something that really stuck with me, she said, Mike, ever since I've had my child, no one ever asked about how I'm doing. And so, Ashley, I want to know, how are you?
That is very sweet of you to ask. I've heard that multiple times, and I feel like people are learning from the past, because I've gotten a lot of people saying, like, people ask about the baby, but how are you? And because my pregnancy was so difficult and I complained so much, I feel like people expect me to have issues postpartum, but I've been so awesome. I've really been. It's like, I want to say I'm great, but like, truly I'm great. And I think everybody like in this community kind of knows me well enough now that like, if I'm not great, I will let it be known.
This is true.
That's amazing.
This is very true. You are.
But that's such a kind thing to ask. And I really love that you even thought about it.
No, seriously. I consider you someone that I look up to and someone that I would reach out to, especially whenever I do get that lady and we get pregnant. You know, I'm going to reach out to you and Jared and just ask a bunch of questions. But like you just said, I mean, Ash, we do know. You go down in Bachelor Nation history for having the most effing tears ever.
No, ever. Mike, really?
Do you still get those tears? Like, and tell us about that.
It's weird. I think the crying had a lot to do with just romance. I just cried about not finding love a lot. It was always over boys, because I definitely don't cry, I don't think, more than your average girl now. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty like even keel.
I gotta ask, how many times do you cry every single time you watch the Titanic?
You want to like get a little story here?
Let's get
never,
it.
Never cried watching Titanic.
What?
From fourth grade on. So, you know, I saw it for the first time in fourth grade. And I never cried. Like 99 viewings, never cried. Then it came out in theaters for the 100th anniversary of the sinking in 2012. And my sister and I, you know, for the first time got to see it in on the big screen in a theater, focused the entire time, and we were uncontrollably sobbing at like the 100th viewing. It was so bizarre, but I'm glad I had that reaction.
Time out. What scene? Like, what was the part that hit you?
The end. Just this him, just like the I'll never let go part.
Oh.
And her going on. You know, her heart going on
for me,
without him.
For me, it was those the little old people that were just cuddled up on the bed, like they had no choice but to just take it. Oh, that got me.
That gets me every time, though. I think about it being a real life tragedy every time I see those people, because we think of it so much like a movie now.
Yeah.
We don't think of there were people who
history.
Were doing it.
Yeah.
History.
Yeah.
Brian, what movie did you ever cry on, if ever?
Oh, man. You got me with this one, man. I think you know what's funny? The funny story is that I was on a date to the Titanic. I think it was like our first date with some.
How old were you? Oh, you are
a
little bit older,
older
than
you. I
but
think,
still, well,
Brian,
you
sound nice
to actually
say that. You are a little bit older than us.
I was.
You definitely
in...
don't look it, but I wait, how are you like close to 40?
I'm 42.
Holy crap, Brian. Well, I mean, you look 32. That's
appreciate
incredible.
It.
So
appreciate
I'd rather
amazing.
Be 42.
As long like as you. I get younger, I'm good, even if it was 41. But I was actually on a date. I remember I think it was high school. And I took this girl on a date and we went to Titanic and she was bawling the entire movie. And I actually like was shedding a tear, but she was crying so much. I was like, okay, I got to man up. Like, I got to like wipe my tears. So I was like looking and covering my face the entire time. But I mean, I did shed a little tear. Like I said, when the ship was sinking and the water was entering the boat and like all those people were just, hey, this is our fate. That's when it got me. So that, Mike, that's one. Yes.
Okay.
Wait,
oh, multiple.
Now we got to go around the circle and talk about the movies that made us cry the most. I have to just share that one Marley and Me.
Great
I mean,
movie.
Scream
great
crying,
movie.
Right? And then same with A Star Is Born, like in the theater. Wait, you can basically hear me going.
That got Rachel.
Version?
That got Rachel.
The most recent one. I don't like the Barbra Streisand one. Did not get me.
There's movies that, I don't know about you guys, there's movies I have to watch every single year. A Star Is Born is a 2-time-a-year movie. I have to.
Okay. You mean the one with Gaga?
Yes, Lady Gaga, yeah, Bradley Cooper. Sure. It's a must, like, period.
It is. I mean, the fact it didn't win Best Picture, mind-boggling. That movie made me feel so much, even though I was so sad at the end. Like, just the fact that, like, a piece of art, like a movie, had that effect on me was so incredible. And that's what I think defines what a good movie is. Yeah.
Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith. I know he's not the most popular person right now, but yeah.
No, it's a great movie. Sad. Great movie. Yeah. Talking about Will Smith, so... And my story with crying in movie theater, I went to the movies with this young lady. We didn't cry in our movie, but you know, this was back in the day when you would like go, that was your date, right? And you would sneak into another movie theater to like keep
Don't
the date going.
Don't you miss that? Like, I miss movies being a date, a dinner and a movie.
First off, like, I can't imagine making like $8 an hour and going on a date because it costs so much money.
Yeah, it's like
a full 8-hour day, 8-hour work day just to go to the movies nowadays. Like, seriously. Yeah. But my date and I, we finished with our movie. We walk into another movie, and it was 7 Pounds with Will Smith. And funny enough, coincidental, I see my best friend like in the back row. I mean, he is sobbing. Like, he is just like, tears are coming down so hard. I noticed him from the back of his head, right? I see the tears from the side, and then I hear him. I mean, he is going at it, right? So Boo-hoo. Much so, his girl was like consoling him, right? And I'm like, I'm gonna call him out. I'm like, Bradley, is that you? He's like, Mike, is that you, bro? He was just crying. So 7 Pounds is a great movie with Will Smith. But, you know, the movie that had me cry was Selena.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, what tragedy.
Selena, when they had the rose, talking about, you know, three of us being on The Bachelor, and the rose, when the rose fell, she had on that white dress, I lost it. I'll cry now if I think about it. I don't even want to go there. Selena is
like another thing. It's just like, that's not just a movie. That's a true story.
Yeah. True story.
Yeah,
true story.
True stories hit harder for sure.
Definitely so. But Ashley, we have to ask, since you know, you have your own podcast, right? We have to know, like, firstly, which Bachelor Nation guest would you say surprised you the most and why?
Well, we certainly got along better than I thought we would after that initial call out, which was scary. And then it was like, oh, wait, this guy's awesome. Let's see. Who surprised me? Well, I actually wasn't even able to interview him most recently, but this is what's coming to my mind right now. I'll probably think of a better answer later, but this is what I got. You would think that after Tyler Cameron has had the fame that he has and the fact that he has, you know, dated supermodels now, that he would be loving like the Hollywood life. He'd be a little conceited.
No, not at all.
He would have like aspirations to be in Hollywood forever, la la la. But he was on the podcast recently and I wasn't even on it. I was on my quote maternity leave, which lasted like 10 days. But I listened to the podcast and he's so down to earth and like his goals in life, his priorities are so straight. And I think that would be surprising to many.
He definitely is. Tyler and I just hung out. We actually just spoke on the phone today, actually. But we hung out a few weeks ago. We did a speaking engagement at TCU. And I'm glad that you said that because people have so many misconceptions about others and just one's following. And the homie truly is down to earth. Like he really, really is in his goals in life and, you know, the things that he loves. So I love that you said that.
Yeah. Like he wants to go build houses with his dad.
Yeah.
And he's just, his goal in life is just to have kids and, you know, be a dad and husband.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. So Ashley, I wanted to ask you, obviously we got a couple months to spare right now, but the Bachelorette is coming up and we have two Bachelorettes. I wanted to know what advice do you have for Rachel and Gabby?
Well, obviously, I've never been a lead before, so I can't really give them advice for their position. What advice does Rachel give them?
Being an alum, and you knowing how this whole world works, what would you say? Based on your experience.
My advice would be so like paradise oriented that I don't even know if it applies to them. But I think that like what you feel like you're living in that day while you're shooting is like how it's going to be for the rest of your life. But I think just like knowing that things can evolve after the show kind of gives you like a sense of hope. Like you're not going to just be like stuck in that position forever. Mm-hmm. So like to the girls, when something crazy is happening, just for them to think about like, okay, this is me. I'm very upset in this moment, but where am I going to be a year from now? Because I feel like if you ask most Bachelor contestants that, they'll say like, wow, that experience greatly enriched my life, even if they don't end up with the person that they're romantically involved in the show. But like just getting to know yourself, gaining confidence, learning how to be so expressive and vulnerable and all that, like always pays off.
I think that's literally how Susie took it with her and Clayton.
Yeah.
She was like, this is a, you know, not the greatest situation, but this is someone that I truly can see being in my life. And this attention won't be on us forever, but she knows she likes Clayton for Clayton. Yeah. And I think that's how she took it. So it's pretty great advice.
No, thanks.
Absolutely.
With that being said, I mean, Ashley, on Talking It Out, we have to ask, we ask all of our beautiful guests, what's a gem that you have?
I have a quote for the men that's always set standing out in my head right now.
Upset.
Don't chase glitter. Don't lose a diamond while chasing glitter. That always stuck with me.
Say that again. Say it again.
Don't lose a diamond while chasing glitter. I used to repeat that to myself to make myself feel better when guys like the guys that I liked were going after other girls.
So you're the diamond, clearly.
In my head, I try to think of myself as the diamond.
Who was the glitter? Anybody else in Bachelor Nation was the glitter?
No. This is prior to Bachelor that quote was really resonating with me. But like, that's also very timely with Bridgerton out. That's all about the diamond.
I think so many of our listeners will, you know, take that with them and run with that. So I love that you said that.
Oh, really?
Not definitely so.
Oh, thanks. And I was just thinking, you know, that's like an old quote that I haven't really had to use for a while, but I always think about it.
And Ashley, I got to finish the podcast with this. Maybe 25 years from now, if Dawson wanted to be the Bachelor, would you approve? Would you allow him to go on the show?
Jared and I always say we would have to because we found each other through it. It's only been good and such an insane blessing to us that we would have to let him do it. And, you know, he's a little stud muffin. I think he might have some qualifications going on.
Who do you think is going to be the first legacy, like, kid to grow up, go on The Bachelor out of everybody that's had a kid on The Bachelor?
Children are the oldest.
Oh, Trista and Ryan's. I mean, because he's already 14 or okay. I think he's in high school.
Oh, okay.
And the kid is super cute.
Okay, there you go.
So if it lasts for another 10-ish years.
I mean, that would be amazing. Coming full circle. First Bachelorette. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be awesome for
Too
the show.
Cool.
Seriously. I have to ask, before we let you go. Who in Bachelor Nation would you just go Google Gaga if they hooked up? Hooked up as in got together in a relationship.
They hooked up?
Not hooked up as in, you know, one night.
Please say Mike and somebody.
Like that. Look at me talking about
Hey,
me.
Listen, my goal
Mike,
for this
are
podcast.
You still are you single or not?
You said still single. I've dated twice since post-show, but I am single today.
Okay, you're single today. Yeah. Okay. Well, so Mike and... No.
That's not for me. Brian, goddamn you.
My goal is to find you a wife.
Well, I don't know. Okay? I'm thinking about all these lovely ladies. I really wanted to see someone with you this paradise, but who's in this paradise? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Tayshia with Mike. Are you giggling because it's going to happen?
What? Well, no, no, we're not. No. Tayshia's a beautiful woman. She just got out of a situation, a relationship. Tayshia's doing her thing.
Situation.
A huge, I like saying situation. I try to make things, you know, nicer and softer. Tayshia is a beautiful soul.
I think people would lose it. That would be a very popular Bachelor Nation couple.
Brian, I absolutely hate you. Right,
I must agree. You put it out there, Ashley. Put it out in the universe.
God damn you.
Yes. Or, oh, this was the one. How did I forget this? It was you with Claire. I wanted you and Claire. I thought you were going on her season.
Why do people
both bachelorettes from that season?
I think we like talked about this on my podcast because you had said something in the comments of her picture, and then you were like mysteriously missing during her season for like the first week or two.
This is how rumors get started. Jeez.
But then I think like you were doing something with the Hannah Ann show, or you're doing like the surfer show.
Yeah, we did Ultimate Surfer. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, but Claire and Mike, I'm down for that too. So anybody from that Bachelorette season with Mike,
Claire is a beautiful soul as well.
I love the PC answer. Beautiful souls all around.
Beautiful soul. But Ashley, thank you so much. We love you. Love Jared. Definitely make sure listeners check out Audrey's if you're up in the Rhode Island area. Give Jared and Ashley all the love. And, you know, we can't wait for Dawson to be an NFL quarterback, just like Tom Brady.
Well, we hope that too. Jared wants him to be a kicker. He says it's the safest. And
facts. I'm so glad you said that.
They get paid well.
Very paid well and has longevity in the career.
Yes. And you don't even have to go to the gym. Have you seen some of these kickers? Anyway, another story for another day. Thank you so much, Ashley, for being here.
Thank you, Ashley, for coming on. Appreciate you.
Bye. Thank you.
Brian, talking to Ashley was a breath of fresh air. I just love to see her radiate. She looked so happy. You could just feel the happiness come off of her, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, her talking about her tough pregnancy and now seeing the baby's born, she seems like everything's a little easier now. So you can tell
she said she's doing amazing.
Yeah, contrary to what all the commenters were saying on her social media, like wait till this, wait till that. But you know, she seems in good spirits. Her and Jared seem like a great team, and they're handling parenthood very well. And I wish them nothing but the best.
I mean, definitely. I mean, just the fact that, you know, they're new parents, they are new homeowners, they are new business owners. I mean, and they
got a lot going on.
They have so much going on, but like you just said, they seem to be such a great team. And I think that's what it's all about. So shout out to them for that.
100.
And Brian, so we got to hear Ashley's gym of the day. What about you? What do you got for us?
Mine's simple, man. It was just a quote I saw. Life, a lot of times, is about who you surround yourself with, and who you surround yourself. You got to surround yourself with people who are only going to lift you higher. Don't settle for anything less. Anybody that's holding you down, you got to remove them from your life because they're only going to hold you back.
Completely agree with that. Completely agree with that. Kind of alludes to my gym for the day. It's the start of April, and something that my friends and I do, we do a check-in. At the beginning of every month, maybe it's the 1st through the 10th, I don't know, one of the beginning days of the month. Hey, how you doing? How's your mom? How's your sister? How your brother? How your dad? How's your kids? If you have kids, how's your, you know, your money? Are you anxious anyway? Are you stressed in any way? And I think that is one of the most beautiful things that my friends and I have incorporated. And so that's just my gem for today, which is just ask people direct, how are you doing? You know,
100%.
And so that's what I have for us today.
You never know what somebody's going through, man. Gotta ask. I love that. Love that. And guys, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We love y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in.
You know, we always love to hear your opinions, your stories, and your insight. So fam, please don't forget to like, comment, follow, message us on social at Talking It Out BN, B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation on IG. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and listen to us on the Odyssey app. Or baby, wherever you get your podcast. And you already know. Don't DM me no more until you get that follow.